Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned in to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night over this worldwide network, over this worldwide platform, giving God the glory, honor, and praise for who he is. Thank God for the men and women that come forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, and also being used by God in other ways over this worldwide platform, we give God the glory, honor, and praise for it in the name of Jesus. I'm asking all listeners, please, get ready to pray with me. But before I do that, as usual, and especially for the new listeners on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready, so that you can follow along with none other than Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to share with us his poem on tonight, part two of his message as well. So you want to tune in tonight. You want to be prepared. You want to be armored. You want to be geared up and ready to move forward and receive what thus said the Lord through Deacon Marvin Cox on part two of this message on tonight. So get your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along. And also, I'm going to give you a few announcements, and then we're going to bring on Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us inspirational poem, the same poem that he did on last week. He's going to do that poem because it's going to tie in with part two of his message on tonight. And so I'm asking our listeners, if you will please pray with me at this time. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. I come, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions, and not only me, but my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a doctor. Thank you for being our healer, our restoration, our everything that we need. Thank you for being with me even when I went through urgent care on yesterday and it ended up keeping me overnight because of a condition that I had. You know all about it. But I just thank you that you touched and healed my body, and I'm now back home. So on tonight, I just give you the glory, honor, and praise for being a faithful and a true God to your word, that you said that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, and you are the one who heals us, and you delivers us and sets us free. So we thank you that we are free indeed in Jesus' name on tonight. So now, Lord, we pray again and thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us in the name of Jesus. It's our prayer, hope, and desire that should there be any listener on the line on tonight, by however way they're listening to this worldwide platform on tonight, that you would use your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, to conclude with part two of his message, and that your word will go forth with power. We already know that your word is not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that you set out for it to do. Because you already knew, even before the foundation of the world, who was going to be listening even on tonight and what we all stand in need of. So again, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions and continue to bless us, continue to strengthen us, continue to use us for your glory. Have your way in each one of us that we might decrease so that you may increase in each one of us. for your glory. Touch and strengthen and heal those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Comfort and strengthen the bereaved all over the land. Heavenly Father, as only you can. Have your way on tonight is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, tonight's spiritual food with God comes to us simply asking each one of us, each one of you, my sisters, each one of you, my brothers, and this includes, this is even for me on tonight. We all need to be reminded sometime, even as saints of God. The spiritual food for thought comes to us saying simply tonight, keep trusting God. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Somebody needs to hear this word on tonight because someone was about to throw in the towel. Someone was about to give up on God. Don't do it. That's what the enemy wants you to do. God says, you know, when you cast your cares upon me, remember that he cares for you. He cares for me. So we just thank God for who he is. So on tonight, remember the spiritual food for thought. No matter how it looks, keep trusting God. In the form of announcements, on next Thursday night, June the 10th, minister of the gospel, minister Benny Gaskin II from Atlanta, Georgia, will be bringing forth God's word. He's going to be delivering God's word every second Thursday night. Also a man of God, young man of God. God is truly using him as well over this worldwide platform and delivering God's word with power. So I want all the listeners to know that you can mark your calendar for every second Thursday night. Benny Gaskin II from Atlanta, Georgia will be delivering God's word. And then we have on Thursday night, the 17th of this month, I am so excited about my new brother in Christ and my new sister in Christ, Brother Scott McIntyre. His ministries is the Brother Scott McIntyre Ministries, but he shares his platform with his wife. This is a young man that I met, and he was on American Idol, the TV show American Idol, and he's blind. He's maybe physically blind in both eyes, but no, he is spiritually alert and alive and well and doing what God has called and anointed for him to do, even though he could have used his physical handicap not to serve God, but he chose, even though he's spiritually blind and have had two kidney transplants, he is still being used by God. So I am so excited to let the listeners know on the third Thursday night, June the 17th, Brother Scott McIntyre and his wife, Christina, they travel all around the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they share his testimonies about him being physically blind, but thank God he's spiritually, he's alert and he's well, and he's fulfilling his God purpose in the earth. And then he has his wife by his side, and they have two young children. So they are traveling around the world, sharing his music and testimonies about how God has even healed him. And even though, again, he had two kidney transplants, but he's still on the battlefield working for the Lord. So he and his wife, Brother Scott McIntyre and his wife, Christina McIntyre of the McIntyre Ministry, Scott McIntyre Ministry, will be my special guest Thursday night, June 17th. You want to mark your calendars. You do not want to miss this blessing. Also, Deacon Marvin Cox will be coming forth every second Saturday night from now on because we replaced him with Minister Tawan Evans. Minister Tawan Evans' job did some switching around with him. So every first Thursday night, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox who's going to be delivering God's word on tonight. But he always shares an inspirational point with us first. This coming Saturday, Minister Tawan Eppinger will be coming forth every first Saturday night from now on. Minister Tawan Eppinger from the Morningstar Baptist Church on the east side of Detroit, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor, will be delivering God's word every first Saturday night. And for those of you that faithfully tuned in, you already know that none other than my first cousin, Pastor Norman King, the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries, located in Greensboro, North Carolina, he will be delivering God's word every third and every fourth Saturday night. So you want to also tune in and be blessed by this awesome, another awesome young man of God who delivered God's word with power. And people are being saved, delivered, and set free. And those that are saved in Jesus' name are being built and strengthened and edified through every guest that comes forth over this worldwide platform delivering God's word and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. So we just give God the glory and ask him to have his way. So on tonight, before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, who is standing by. We're going to go to our music break. I give you praise. Why? Because God is truly worthy to be praised. There is no God like our God. So enjoy the music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. So once again, I pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along. Enjoy the music break. Praise the Lord. I give you praise. Well, before we bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, I want to extend my deepest sympathy and condolences to a former family of the Greater Seattle Faith Baptist Church, Sister Mary Davis and her brothers, Mother Davis, their mother, one of the mothers of the church of Greater Seattle Faith Baptist Church, made her heavenly transition. Mother Davis would have been 95 years old this coming, she would have been 95 years old, the mother of 13 children, 12 boys and one girl. So we extend our deepest sympathy and condolences to Sister Mary Davis, you and your brothers and your entire family. We know that God has no respect for a person, and we know that he makes no mistake. We thank God for your mother's life and her being an example of what a real mother is. And in the body of Christ. So we thank God for her memories and that she's now at peace and she's now resting in the arms of the Lord. So we just thank God for her memories and her spirit. And so we give you, we place you all in God's hands and letting you all know that, again, earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So I am a witness. I know we have a lot of witnesses on the line that can say too, their mothers have made their heavenly transitions as well. And we know without a doubt that God is a promise keeper. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will do everything that you need, even in your hour of reason. So continue to hold on to God's unchanging hands to the Davis family. And I want to give a shout out to Bishop James A. Jennings, my pastor and shepherd, and the greatest shepherd of faith to the family. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us his inspirational poem instrument, and then he's going to go with part two of his message. So I hope that you are all ready to receive part two of tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Brown, for that introduction. I'm just happy today. I was just listening to you talk, and I also had a procedure this past Tuesday, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do the show tonight, but the Lord made a way. I've been groggy and sluggish for the past couple of days, but God make a way somehow. And I just thank the Lord for that, because truly he's good and he's worthy to be praised. I want to tell you before you're long, Brother Brown, the message and the food for thought is coinciding with what the Lord has given me in part two. Now, I had a second poem, but I'm going to go back with that unwelcome guest, because it's bringing forth the essence of the message. Now, the name of the poem is An Unwelcome Guest, and it's self-explanatory. Worry. Worry came to visit me just the other day. When worry came, he chased my faith and my good health away. He brought along some relatives. They were way too numerous to mention. The first one he brought along was his oldest son, hypertension. Hypertension was a fugitive on the run from God's law. He was the most silent and deadliest killer that you ever saw. He said, your faith and your good health, I come here to test. But that's just the rudeness of an unwelcome guest. Hypertension said, I didn't come by myself. There's no need to complain. I brought my wife with me. Her name is Migraine. Now, Migraine was a drummer who pounded all night. She pounded so much, I became sensitive to God's light. A hypertension and Migraine will bring you to your knees, and then along came their children, the offspring, kidney, and heart disease. Now, the next relative to come, he came in a limo, all dressed up in a tux, that old bellyache nuisance, acid reflux. He said, the whole family is here, and we definitely are no joke. We just, would somebody please open up the door for our granddaddy, the stroke. Now, you may protest, you may have even resisted, but if a stroke come uninvited, you will surely be twisted. Now, these illnesses came, and they came in rapid succession. Now, the next one to come along was deep depression. I went to my doctor. He said, you need to relax. Then he wrote me a prescription for some Xanax. Now, Xanax turned into a monkey who rode my back. I thought I was having a heart attack. Now, the thing about worry that seemed oh so strange is that we worry about things that only God can change. And worry is not that bad, if you were to be fair, if you would take your burdens to the Lord and just leave them there. He would free your mind. He would comfort your soul if we stop worrying about things that only God can control. Now, the next time worry come to visit you, tell him, hey, you can't stay, because a good attitude and belief in God is the only thing that will chase his stressful butt away. Amen. Now, we're going to immediately go into the lesson for tonight. Now, I'll be reading to you from the gospel recorded by St. John, from the 14th chapter. I will eventually read the whole chapter, but our emphasis is coming from the first down through the third verse, and it reads thusly. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I just read unto you from the gospel as recorded by St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our soul forever. Amen. Now, we chose a topic last week, and the topic was concerning a troubled heart has many worries. And so we're going to piggyback on that tonight. Now, Brother Brown, he already gave us some food for thought, and he was saying trust in God. And it's impossible to trust in God, which is our topic for tonight, if you don't hit, if you hit the panic button. So our message for tonight is don't hit the panic button, because it's a lot of us right now, we are so undecided about how God is operating that a lot of us have gone to the other side. A lot of us have abandoned that which God has been teaching us for years and years and generations. Why? Because we are hitting that panic button, because we don't think that there's no way out. But see, God promised us. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And as I say, I just read to you from St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. And I said that just in case I didn't say it again, because we've got to give the proper edification unto the Lord. Now, as I said, do not hit the panic button, because, see, I got to bring you up to date, because there were some listeners last week that called me after the program, and they told me that they were going to tell some more. So, see, God's word has momentum, and so I didn't want them to be out of step, so I have to go back. I have to digress momentarily to bring them up to date. So this was a time when the Lord told his disciples that it's time for me to go and prepare a place for you. And so those that have been traveling with the Lord, just like we do, all of this time we've been traveling with the Lord, and we've seen and worked many miracles and many wonders, and we still have doubts in our mind. We feel just like, but see, this is a good thing, not the doubts and the fear, but this is a good thing, because I know that my parents, and I'm more than sure that some of your parents have told you this at one time or another, when we kind of like got carried away with ourselves. They would tell us, they would address us, boy or girl, and they would say, stay in a child's place. So in the process of staying in a child's place, we know that God is in control. But see, all these mighty men, all these mighty men of God who followed him and seen what his capabilities were, seeing him heal, seeing him raise the dead, heal the sick, and numerous other miracles that he performed. But they still, at one time or another, guess what? They had some type of a doubt in their mind, and they began to question the Lord. They began to say, Lord, we don't know the way, but the Lord is telling each and every last one of us, you do know the way. I've showed you the way. I am the way. So in the process of him telling us, then if you allow one tangent of doubt to creep in, then sometimes you lose your focus, and now is not the time. Brother Brown told you in the Food for Thought, he said, trust in God. And I'm just piggybacking on that once again to say, don't hit the panic button. Because, see, when you hit the panic button, see, you lose control of your thoughts. Because, see, he's gone just for a very little bit of time. He's not going to be gone long, but see, he's gone, and he's going to prepare that place for us that he promised us. He's gone, and we went over to the 23rd number of Psalms, and We went over that verse by verse and said, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And after reading that many, many times, I come up with this. Say, I shall not want. Lord, why should I not want? Because he have met my needs. And see, something that you want is just something on the side. You know, you go to, you know, with your nutrition and everything, but sometimes we want a little bit extra. You know, you go to Burger King, say, I want some extra pickles on that. But the nutritional value of the food is already being implemented. So, but at the end, the sixth verse of the 23rd number of Psalms, it says, Thou prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So if you tie the last verse of the 23rd number of Psalms together with the third verse or the first verse of John, the 14th chapter, the first verse, it said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the sixth verse of the 23rd number of Psalms. And number one, the 14th chapter of St. John say, I go to prepare a place for you. And see, if I'm not correct, it was like a span of over 700 years between the time of Isaiah. It was a time that the Lord told us that he would go and prepare a place for us. He said, told us, let not our hearts be troubled. And the psalmist, it might have been even longer than that, the time of King David. So you look how the Lord's prophecy come forth. He may say, have said something way over there in Isaiah, but it didn't get fulfilled until Corinthians. So I'm telling you right now, my brothers and my sisters, do not hit that panic button. Because, see, when you hit the panic button, it's doing one thing that I believe that God is displeased with. It's showing a lack, as Brother Brown was telling you, it's showing a lack of trust in the Lord. And now is not the time to show that lack of trust. Because one thing about it, God cannot lie. He's not a man that he would lie. He's not that type of individual. What he says is going to come. But, see, we must meet those qualifications. We must do what it is that he needs us to do, what that he has instructed us to do. And see, to think about it, it's not for him. It's for you, Brother Brown. It's for you, Pastor King. It's for you, Brother Isaiah. You, Sister Robinson. You, Sister Michelle. And all of the other listeners that may be tuned in. I don't want to leave nobody out. It's for you. It's for your benefit. And see, sometimes we talked about that word you last week. And it could apply to a group of people or it could apply to one individual. So that being said, he's going to prepare a place for you. According to, now don't get me wrong. Now, see, some of us automatically think we're going to get in there. But according to what? The deeds that is done in this body. So in other words, you must meet those qualifications that the Lord has set forth for us. Also, what is telling us is that, or what we fill in and what I had the experience of witnessing, that there is a lot of Christians, a lot of brothers and sisters right now who feel that the Lord have abandoned them. And as I say, these brethren, they got together and they would begin to question the Lord and say, how do we know the way? How could we, you know, we lost without you, Lord. But to paraphrase, the Lord was telling Philip and the rest of the brothers, he'd say, have you not been paying any attention? So I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters that listen, have you not been paying any attention. I know that over the last year, the last 16, 18 months, we were faced with something that the world has never seen before, and that is this pandemic. And as I say, a lot of people feel that the Lord just completely abandoned them, that the Lord didn't want to have nothing to do with them. But see, and we had to quarantine. We had to, and a lot of marriages were messed up because people were spending too much time together. Now, could you imagine that? That we beg for time together, then we get you know, wife said, baby, you're working too much, you know, and the Lord fixed it so that you could spend every minute of every day with your husband that you think is working too much, or with your wife that you think is working too much, or with your children that you, you know, that you sent off to school. And then the next time, you know, we're arguing and we bickering. Why? Because we didn't hit that panic button. Because we don't know how to handle that situation. But now is not the time to hit that panic button. Now is the time to wait, because he told us over there in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, the 20th verse, he told us to go into our secret chambers and hide and stay there to his indignation pass over. Now, I can't say because I'm not the Lord. But to those of you that is not familiar, indignation is anger. Indignation is wrath. So he told each and every last one of us to go, those that are serving him, go on the inside. Find yourself a little quiet place where you could serve me. Find a little quiet place where you could pray, where you could pray. Now, I know each and every last one of us should have some type of a prayer closet, even if it's not, even if it ain't nowhere, but in our car. When we get off of work, we sit in the car for a few minutes and we pray to the Lord and thank him for helping us get through a busy, hectic day. But I know that each and every last one of us, it could be in a room full of people. But see, if we focus on the Lord, we can block everybody out. So Isaiah was telling, the word was saying through Isaiah, that now is the time to go into their closet. And see, a lot of us, they've been in their closet, but see, if you know, like I know, sometimes you go in that closet and you don't want to come out. Because communion right now with the Lord is one of the most wonderful things that you can do. But see, when we come out the closet, come out of that secret place, we hit that panic button. Why? Because things around us seem like it's falling apart. But see, the Lord told us a wonderful thing. He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So him saying that he will never leave us nor forsake us is just like when our parents go to work. They go there to make sure that it's a roof over our head, that it's food in our mouth, that there's clothes on our back. And in their absence, I'll put it this way, in their absence, they have instilled in each one of us what it is that we should be doing. So we should not have to ask our parents, or that sometimes they should not have to give us instructions, which I know is a command with a lot of parents nowadays. I want my house clean when I get back. I want those dishes washed. I want, even if you don't clean my house, I want your room clean. So we already know what it is. Some things we should not have to be instructed as to, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. Because the Lord said in his word, the way you know the way, you know. And so, as I was saying, these disciples, they began to question the Lord as to the length of time that he would go and the length of time that he would stay. And this is one time that, as I was saying, The men, these mighty men of God, these warriors of God, were converted into children. Why? Because their leader. See, because one thing about it, I don't think I've said this before, but I'm going to say it now. See, God can't use no grown people. And the reason I say can't use no grown people is because it said, blessed are the little children that come to me unless you come as a child. And see, a child is humble. A child is obedient. A child is receptive to that which instructions. So we got to move that grown, you know, because, see, a lot of grown folks out there say, shoot, you can't nobody tell me nothing. So when you get to that you can't tell me nothing stage, then God don't have no use for you. We have to bring forth that obedience that God is looking for through us. And it's through our obedience, because if I'm rebellious against God, what say ye about my wife? What say ye about those children that I'm supposed to be leading to God and towards God? They're going to look at my behavior and say, shoot, no, wait a minute now. Oh, wait a minute. What's going on, you hypocrite? You're saying one thing and you're doing another. You're telling us to do as you say and not as you do. And see, that's one thing about it that will cause people to hit that panic button. When you tell them to do one thing, but your heart and your mind and your activities is far from that what you have told them to do. So right now, we're standing and we're living in perilous times. We're living in crucial times. We're living in times where men will frown. They will boast about a lie, and they frown up at the truth. All you got to do is look around you right now and see these activities that I'm saying, because right now it looks like if you're not a good liar, then you're not going to fit into the inner circle. People are nowadays are banishing those that tell the truth from out of their presence. Why? Because, as I say, a troubled heart has many worries. But the only thing I can tell you is to tell the truth. Do not allow activities of the world to prevent you from doing what it is that God will have you to do. And I said, the Lord, he said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And I believe that, because the other day I had, a procedure done, and, you know, you never know about any type of procedure, even if you get a tooth pulled. Sometimes people have died from having a tooth pulled. But we're going to go over here to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, the 6th verse. And it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So this is instruction for each and every last one of us to be strong. And not only be strong, but be of a good cheer. Because, see, there's so many things right now that's coming up against God's people, that's troubling their hearts, that's making them worry. Because they say worry, you know, worrying is not going to, there's no benefits. Once again, there's no benefit in worrying about anything. God's word tells us that, hey, you can't change not one gray hair. You can't change nothing by worrying. But once again, it shows lack of trust, and it shows doubt and the ability of God. I used to pray sometimes that, Lord, if you don't do it, I know that you can, and I know that you're able. Because a lot of things that we ask for, we might not necessarily be ready for it at that particular time. So now is not the time to hit that panic button. Now is not the time to go off the deep end. Now is not the time to denounce that God is not. I've seen people, some faithful people, like, okay, we're going to go with Noah, for instance. He was so faithful to God that the instruction that God gave him, it's going to rain. People made a mockery out of him, just like they're going to make a mockery out of you. When you tell them that we're living in the last days, they'll tell you, well, shoot, this has been the last days for the last 100 years. Ever since I've been knowing you, preaching that same old stuff. But see, keep on. Tell you, say, watch me, what is the night? Did you warn my people of the danger to come? Did you instruct them that, hey, if they don't change, you know, say, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and turn, you know, from their wicked ways. I'm just paraphrasing. Then they will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. But see, it's up to each and every individual that's listening to me. This is not going to happen on its own. I don't care how much we talk about the Word of God. I don't care how much we know about the Word of God. If we don't live the Word of God, then all our studying, all our talking is in vain. Because, see, love is one thing where I come from. Love is a demonstration. And you must demonstrate that love, God's love, and through your demonstration of God's love, it's going to catch. It's going to catch this person. It's going to catch that person. It's going to gather momentum, just like hatred gathers momentum. And people will hate you and disregard you. Why? Because somebody else don't like you. So we have to be careful. We have to let that love that is in us, love that is in Christ Jesus, be also in you. We have to do that. Because, see, that demonstration of love, that when I was not worthy to be called a son or a child of his, he labored with me. He saw the good in me. As that songwriter said, you know, when everybody around me only saw the worst in me, he saw the best in me. So let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about these things. A worry heart, a troubled heart, has many worries. And I'm here this evening to tell you that now is not the time to worry. We got to refocus on the focus. Because our government has thrown us a few tidbits out there to to seem like the tide over for the time being. But when that runs out, if we have not tied it to the Lord, if we have not done what it is that the Lord will have us to do, I can't speak to you for you, but oh woe is me. Now is not the time to hit that panic button, because see that once again that panic button is that design for one reason, and that's when chaos all around you is breaking out. But believe it or not, chaos is not breaking out. We're making it break out, but this chaos is not caused. It's not caused by God. It's caused by man's disobedience. Now, back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the Lord was looking for just a few good men, I think Jack Nicholson played in a movie called A Few Good Men, and he began to take a survey and said, okay, well, you know, start off with a pretty decent number, but it was a small number compared to the population. Okay, I'm going to say, okay, can you give me 50? Can you give me 20? Can you give me this amount? Okay, just find me one who have a desire to do right, okay? And then we go over here to Babylon. We know what, first of all, we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we know that what God did to that place. We know what he did to Babylon. We know what he was on the verge of doing to Nineveh, because what happened, he said, your sins have come up before me. But he sent Jonah there to say, hey, y'all, you know, hey, with a saving word. That's what he sent Jonah there, with a saving word. And Jonah went and did. He said, preach out against them. So I'm just saying now, there's many worries that we have, because this is not a normal time. This is not how it used to be. People are itching to get back to their sports events, to get back to their concerts, to get back to their social gatherings. But in the meantime, have I gotten close to God? Have I put my trust in him, as Brother Brown gave us with the food for thought? Have I put my trust in him? Am I hitting the panic button because I don't believe that God said he's going to do what he's going to do? Because the reason I'm asking you and warning you and begging you is because as soon as they open back up things, it's going to be a lot of people that's going to get amnesia on God. Because he tells us in his word, I am yet to be found. In other words, while I'm available to you, while I'm here, seek me and commune with me. That's not a hard thing to do. We could take out a few minutes every day or a few minutes to say, Lord, even if we don't know how to pray, Lord, I appreciate the things that you have brought me through. Lord, I appreciate you. You're looking out, even if it's not for ourselves. Lord, I thank you for blessing my child that COVID was not as severe. Now, my wife recently had a real serious bout with some shingles, and just seeing her go through the agony of that particular virus, it bothered me. But then I looked it up, read it, and researched, and guess what? It could have been a whole lot worse than what it was. And see, we look at things and we look at what we think is the severity of something, and it's not as severe with us as it is with somebody else. So I know that God is a merciful God. I know that it's not time in my life, not time in none of our life, to hit that panic button. It's not time for chaos to set through, because look, we went through the first, the second, the third, the fourth wave. Went through vaccinations, we went through quarantine, we went through unemployment. Just think all the things that we've been through over the last year. We went through broken marriages, we went through trouble in our homes. But guess what? We're still here. We just like the Energizer Bunny. We're still going. So now is not that time to touch. Get away from that panic button. Just trust God. And Brother Brown, I'm so glad that you came forth with that. Just trust God. And if you trust God, then it's no reason for us to believe that he's not coming back like those disciples did. Those disciples said, Lord, we don't know what we're gonna do. You're leaving us. But he told us, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, be of good cheer, be of good courage. I got your back. Don't you worry about that. I got you. Now, that should cause us to relax instead of panic even more. But, we say, okay, well, the bill collectors is at the door. They threatening to do this. They threatening to do that. Temporary inconvenience. Now, I would rather trade in temporary any day for permanent or forever. I'll put it that way. Because he says that over there in Psalms 23, 6th verse, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, what? Forever. But see, nobody wants to suffer for the Lord. Nobody wants to go through these trials and tribulation for the Lord. But guess what? He did it for you. And then on top of that, if you think about it, he was not forced to do it. He was just like Isaiah. He volunteered. Hey, Lord, when the search in heaven began and God wanted somebody who flowed both blood and water, and he could not find anybody worthy, because we know that Solomon and Samson and David and all the other patriarchs of the Bible, we know that they were of a sinful nature, sinful flesh. But the Lord volunteered, said, Father, send me. I'll go. He was the only one worthy enough to redeem you. Only one worthy enough to redeem me. Pontius Pilate he said, I find no fault with the man. I find no guile in the man's mouth. So he was speaking of a pure tongue. So just think, all of that for little old me, all that for little old you. Now, that's the time to rejoice right there, but to think that somebody loved you so much that they would lay down their life, that they would sacrifice their life, they would give up their life so that you could have a better life. So don't hit that panic button. Now is not the time, because there's going to be some things coming at you left and right and right and left. Some things coming from you that you might not understand. And see, that demon is going to always try to create a panic situation in your life. And as the old people say, people from the South say, he wants you to run around like a chicken with your head cut off. No direction, just out there just running. No, as I say, no direction at all. But look to those hills from which cometh your help. Don't panic. Don't worry, because see, those worries that we're talking about, they're not going to do you any good. Cast your cares on him. Cast your worries on him. Be not anxious about anything. Now, okay, we might say, okay, well, Lord, I'm sightless. Lord, I'm lame. Lord, I'm handicapped. Temporary. Don't you know? And Brother Brown constantly testifying about somebody with some type of affliction. You know, the brother that's gonna come on the 17th. You know, the sightless brother, or the brother that don't have sight. He got spiritual insight, and that's all he needs.
Yeah. That's right.
So when it comes down to these things, that's a temporary thing. It's not a forever thing, but see, what is your excuse? What is my excuse? There is none. Just like the accusers when they come down to Mary Magdalene. He told her to look around. Say, where are your accusers? He said, Lord, I don't see none. So what are your excuses? What's your excuse? Wait a minute. Oh, okay, well, I just got married. Remember those guys, that guy that just got married and couldn't come to the feast? Remember the one that said, okay, I just bought some land. You know, I've just bought a brand new plow. I just bought some oxen. I bought a yoke of oxen. I want to see if they're as strong as excuses. The Lord say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we're not supposed to allow anything or anyone to interfere with our function. You know, 6 days shall labor do all that work, but 7 days of the Sabbath, the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and rested the seventh day. So I don't care if you're trying to get that 70-inch TV, trying to get that 83-inch TV. Take some time out for the Lord. Don't hit the panic button.
Yep.
Don't worry about that. See, we get so caught up onto materialistic things that we lose our focus on the Lord. And now is not the time to lose our focus on the Lord. Now it's time to concentrate on the Lord. Now is the time to cast our cares on him. Now is the time not to allow these worries, this troubled heart. Now is the time to let the chief physician administer to that troubled heart that we have. He'll fix it. But you got to trust him. Brother Brown said you got to trust him. You got to believe in him. And once you do that, I can guarantee you that things will be a whole lot better for you. But you got to want to.
Yes,
you got to have that desire that he wanted them people down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, those twin cities, to have. He wanted them to say, hey, you just find somebody that just believe or have a desire. Because if you got that desire, eventually that desire is going to bloom and it's going to grow into something that is beneficial to you if it's for the right thing. If I have a desire to, I don't say that I do, but if I had a desire to quit smoking, I say, Lord, you got to take this word. You know, give it to the Lord. I got to, you know, Lord, I got a desire to, you know, to quit being so this and quit being so that. Turn it over to him. Don't hit the panic button because we got a little bit more time to go. He said he's coming back, but he did not specify when he was coming back because, see, if he tell you when he's coming back, then we know that our parents is on the way back in, then we're going on to clean up the house. We could stop the party. You know,
yeah.
We could stop the party, say, wait a minute, Mama on the way. And we could have the house clean. But see, he's going to come unexpected and unaware.
That's right.
So may God bless you and may ever keep you. Brother Brown, I thank you for, and I thank the Lord once again for this opportunity. Remember, a troubled heart has many worries, but now is not the time to hit the panic button. Just, Brother Brown, I'm going to incorporate what you said. Just trust in God. And if you do those things, you're going to be all right. Now, I'll now turn you over to Brother Brown. I thank you for the pleasure, the privilege of your time. I thank you for taking time out on this Thursday evening to listen to what the Lord has to say to all of us, because it's speaking to me too. So,
right.
Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for the conclusion of the whole matter regarding this subject matter on tonight. A troubled heart has many worries. And as the old phrase goes, if you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Turn it over to the Lord because he don't never sleep. He don't slumber nor sleep. So why should you be up all night worrying, knowing that he's got the whole matter in his hands and he's going to take care of it because he is a promise keeper. So we thank God for he is still watching over his word. He's performing it, his word in the lives of his people, even today for his glory. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox. We thank God for his word, for him concluding with part two of this message. A much needed word for such a time as this, for such a time that we are living in. So many Christians are trying to give up and throw in the towel, but that's another trick of the enemy. So hold on to your faith. Go back to your first love in whom you first believed when you first got excited about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord wants you to get back to that day. And if you have walked away from the Lord for whatever reason, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that something was said on tonight that would prick your heart, that you would surrender and you would ask God to forgive you for all of your sins as well, so that you can be able to move forward and get back on track and get back in good standing and in fellowship and relationship with God, because that's what he wants, a personal relationship with his people, his children. And when we hear his voice through his Holy Spirit, he said that, you know, when we speak to the church, we ought to be able to hear what he is saying to the church. And we are the church, those of us that are saved in Jesus' name. So we thank God for Dick and Marvin casting his word on tonight. Again, we pray that it has been received on tonight in love, that God is most of all glorified on tonight. And so just like Deacon Marvin Cox said, I'm going to re-stress this spiritual food for thought once again on tonight because it's so true. No matter how long you've been saved in the body of Christ, sometimes you can be a new babe in Christ. Sometimes you want to just give up and just throw in the towel. But again, the word of God says, cast all of your cares upon me. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for me, and he has no respect of persons. So I need to be reminded of this word myself. Sometimes the scripture food for thought. Keep trusting God. And it's for you, man and woman of God, that's trying to be a faithful doer of God's word. Don't throw in the towel. Don't listen to the enemy, because the word of God says it's already written. And we already have the victory through Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. So Jesus trusted God all the way. And being a follower of Jesus Christ, he is our perfect example and role model. That if Jesus Christ went through all that he went through for us, and he kept the faith, and he kept on trusting God, even all the way to the death of the cross, even down to the grave, even down to hell, but he came forth on the third day morning with the victory, just like he said he would, by trusting God. Because that's what you and I must do. We must continue to trust in God no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels. Again, this word is for me, too, on tonight. Just like Deacon Marvin Cox said, this word is for him. This word is for me, too. So, and as I know it's for you, my sister, and you, my brother, on the line tonight, to be encouraged on tonight, knowing that God is a promise keeper. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight, as we always do. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again, touching and agreeing on one accord that you are in the midst, that your word has gone forth on tonight. And we know that your word has been received. People are being blessed and healed and strengthened and delivered and set free because of your word. And we thank you for your word, because your word is saving souls on tonight. We thank you that you have used your man of God, Deacon Bobby Cox, once again to deliver your word as he was used by you and through and the aid of the Holy Spirit on tonight, that your word has went out and it's not going to return back unto you void, but it's going to accomplish everything that you set out for it to do, even from last week, even to tonight, that this word is going to be effective in the earth, that you is going to be glorified through it and because of your word on tonight. So we continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry. Continue to bless them as well, and all those that are new listeners on tonight for the first time. Continue to bless each one of us individually and just the corporate body of believers, that we will all be able to hear you say on that day unto each one of us, my good and faithful servant, well done. That's exactly what we want to hear. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until this coming Saturday, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
So you clean.